I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A couple came to Bethlehem expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place, for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A star shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and gold and myrrh, they gave to you and cried out hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Christmas, and sometimes we preachers get off on it and throw cold water on it and all that kind of thing and talk about it. But there's a lot about Christmas that I like. And it doesn't necessarily involve turkey and ham and things like that, but that's part of it. Aren't you glad for the traditions of Christmas that we have? They're not all bad. We decorate the house. We have family and friends over that we wouldn't have otherwise. We enjoy ourselves together. There's nothing wrong with any of that. It's a wonderful thing. I like it. I like the Christmas decorations. I like the lights. And I love the music. I especially like the music. I can turn the radio on, even secular stations, and hear the name of my Lord glorified for coming to this earth. And I'm blessed for that. Also, I'm glad that I hear a little higher quality of music around Christmas time. And I'm thankful for that, for the blessings that's given to us. And, you know, you listen to some of the Christmas songs and every one of them has a story. Some of them we deem Christmas carols and only use them at Christmas time. The truth is, my brothers and sisters, they weren't Christmas songs at all. Joy to the World was meant to be a song of praise to God for coming to this earth that was to be sung all the time, but we've almost exclusively brought it to Christmas time. Nothing wrong with it being used at Christmas time, by the way. I always wondered years ago when I was a kid, and it has been years ago since I was a kid, but I wondered about the song Good King Wenceslas. Look down on the Feast of Stephen and you say, well, what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, when you know the story, he was the king in Czechoslovakia, and from his palace sitting on the hill, he could see the people. He noticed poor people going for wood, and he would light off of his throne and out of his throne room and go down into the streets and take wood to poor people that didn't have any wood to warm them, take food to their houses, and take treats to the children. When you know that story, it's wonderful. Insurrection arrived in the land, and they convinced his brother to take the throne away from him, and he approached Wenceslas and stabbed him to death. But before he died, he had the breath to say, my brother, I pray that God will forgive you for what you've done. And with those words, he passed away, which is the same words of Christ almost. It turned out that it was the saving of his brother's heart and soul, because he had done this wonderful act of forgiveness in his dying breath, and his brother turned away from the people that he had been with and brought to the Czechoslovakia countryside the gospel of Christ. Those are stories that are wonderful. Silent Night was written to be played with a guitar by a Catholic priest simply because the organ had broke down in the church, and they had all of the handles works and all of box works and all those things lined up to be played on the organ. Nobody could figure out how to fix the organ, so the priest wrote a new song, and a gentleman who had a guitar played it. It became one of our standards. Those are all stories that are wonderful stories, that are good stories, that bless our hearts and touch our souls. But the stories of Christmas are wonderful, and I could stand here from now on, and any one of them would be a sermon in itself. The opening salvo from heaven when God sent Gabriel to an old priest named Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, and in their 80s they conceived and brought forth a son named John, who became the Baptist, a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. These two old people had served God faithfully all their lives. And then in the last years of their life, God brought to them the opening of the door for Christ to come into the world. That possibly would be the first human Christmas story. I could preach for hours on the Virgin Mary and her husband Joseph. Young people, Mary probably 16 years old if she was that, ready to be married, engaged to be married. And by the way, in those days when it says Mary was espoused to her husband, that was a legal contract. That engagement was as binding and as legal as a marriage was. And to be found unfaithful in that time was to be guilty of adultery, you could be stoned to death. You could be publicly flogged. You could be disgraced in public. And yet Mary and Joseph heard the voice of God who said, Mary's going to conceive. My friends, I can tell you today, I don't believe you can go to heaven if you don't believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Mary was a virgin, and Joseph kept her that way until such time as the Christ child was born. We could talk about the sanctity of their lives. We could talk forever about their obedience to God and their willingness to suffer, their willingness to do the will of God, even though everybody else misunderstood it and didn't understand it. We could talk about the shepherds who heard the first announcement of Christ's birth, and I did speak about that the other week here. And we could talk about those shepherds. We have rose-tinted glasses when we read about the shepherds in the Bible. Actually, they were despised. They were looked down on. They could not go to the temple. They were unclean. They could not go to synagogue. They were unclean. They spent their time in the fields with sheep. They smelled like sheep. They were dirty like sheep. They had to feed the sheep. They had to lead the sheep. They had to help the sheep. All the things that they went through with, all the things that happened to them, made them persona non grata with the people. The people did not accept the shepherds. We find that hard to believe because Christ identifies himself as the good shepherd, the chief shepherd of the sheep. We read Psalm 23, and so we put down in our heart all of this story about the shepherds, and we think how wonderful they are. And yet when this motley ragtag bunch, not clothed properly, not bathed properly, had no obsession cologne on them, had no soap and no water to speak of, and yet it was to them that God sent the announcement of his son's birth. It was to them that came first and saw, other than Mary and Joseph, saw him first and saw who he was and what he was and how they rejoiced and went through the town telling everybody that they met, telling every place that they came the story that they had known. There's nothing probably that pricks our attention more than the wise men who came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could preach for hours about the fact that everybody that came to see Jesus came to worship. And the wise men came from the east. No, they were not kings. No, there were not three of them. There were many of them. They came probably with a small army. They came with great riches. They came with enough money in gold and frankincense and myrrh to hand to the Holy Family, that when they went into Egypt for 3 years and a little more, they had enough to sustain their life while they were there. We could talk about these wise men who came following. We don't know how they recognized the star. We don't know. It's called a star, but we are aware the stars are many light years away from us. We're also aware that they don't come down to earth. But you say, well, then how could it be? Because God can do anything he wants to do. He can do when he wants to do and how he wants to do it and where he wants to do it. And he chose to have a luminous light like a star come down and lead the wise men across the desert. And evidently when they got to Israel, they left and they inquired for where the Christ was to be born. No one knew he'd been born, but they did. These were Gentiles. These were not Jews. These were not people of Israel. These were people who would have been outcast by the religious people of Jerusalem. And yet they came, and when they came out from visiting with King Herod, they saw the star again and were glad. And it came and stood over the house where he lay. Christ was by then not in a manger, not in a barn, but in a house, if you read carefully the scripture. And they came to him and his mother, and they worshiped Jesus and gave him gifts. No, we say we exchange gifts every Christmas because of what the wise men did. The truth is, the wise men did not exchange gifts. They did not give each other presents. What they did do was buy presents for the king. They brought something to give to the Lord. And let us remember that our Christmas It's wonderful to sing and to play music. It's not wrong to sing Jingle Bells, even if it was a Thanksgiving song, Dessa. Even if it was written for a Thanksgiving song. It's not wrong to sing Jingle Bells. It's not wrong to sing Frosty the Snowman. It's not wrong to sing those little childish songs and happy songs. They're just happy ditties that we sing. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I have to tell you, my friends, if we forget to come and worship Jesus, we have missed the point of the whole thing. The whole thing, all of these other things are wonderful. All these other things are nice. Enjoy yourself. Have a great time with your family. Have a great time with your friends. Don't get drunk. Don't get into any of that. Just have a good time. And when it's over, be sober and sane and know what you're doing. But have the blessing of a good time. Is it wrong to exchange a gift? No, it's not. I just want you to know that the most important gift you give to Christ because God gave Him to us as a gift. We need to remember that. We need to look back over that. And so all these Christmas stories, Anna and Simeon, when Jesus was 30 days old, took Him to the temple to dedicate it, and we realize that the whole nation of Israel was in a backslidden condition. We realize that for over 400 years, there had not been a prophet of God spoken in Israel, but there were people who were in touch with God out there in the countryside, out there in the homes and in the hearts of people. There were people who were out there who loved God and were in touch with God. That gives me hope. You know, I look at the world today and I can believe it's going to hell in a handbasket in just a minute. But you remember, oh no, I always remember about Elijah who whined and cried around and said, well, I'm the only one that's left and there's no one else left and there's no other people, prophets of God. And God said, whoa, just a minute, Elijah. I got 7,000 people in this country who have never once bowed their knee to Baal. And my brothers and sisters, when I look at Anna and Simeon, at Elizabeth and Zacharias, at Mary and Joseph, there were people out among the hill countries, in Galilee, out along the Jordan River Valley, over next to the Sea of Galilee, who were not the intelligentsia of the land. They were not the leaders of the land. They were not the religious word of the land, but they were honest-hearted people who were reaching out to God. And in the midst of all of the flim-flam religion that they had in that day, like we have in our day, in the midst of all their flim-flam religion, there were people who had the real thing and really trusted God. And I could preach forever about these people that were there. And you say, well, all those Christmas stories are so good. They are. But I have to tell you, it really is the greatest story ever told. And it did not begin in Nazareth. And it did not begin in Bethlehem. And it did not end at Calvary. The truth is, my friend, that sometime in the far reaches of eternity, by the determinate will and counsel of the Almighty God, He determined to build an earth. He determined to make it the way He made it. I testify to you this morning that God is our Creator. We are not accidents. We did not crawl up out of some primeval swamp and primeval soup and become who we are today. We did not come through the fish and bird kingdom and the monkey kingdom. If we came from monkeys, we have to apologize to the monkeys because we haven't done much to enhance their image, have we? But when I look at it, I recognize that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the only glory of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And when I look at that scripture in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, I recognize that in the mind of God, oh, what the mind of God must be. In one word, He created every animal life in this planet. In one word, He created every plant in this planet from the protozoa right on up to the great redwoods in California. And in one word, created little amoeba all the way up to whales and elephants. Just in one word, all of that was created. You know, when I was in the hospital, we had a possum who came and visited us every day. outside of our window, and we watched daily for, I don't know what he was doing up in the daytime, by the way. He's supposed to be asleep in the daytime. But I look at that possum, and I can't imagine the God who created such beautiful birds down in South America, and the God who created such wondrous creatures, created a possum. I don't want to throw off on any of God's creation, but you know, you wonder if he dropped his creative pen when he was drawing a picture of a possum to be created. You know, you just have to think about those things sometimes. But before God created anything, before he ever laid the foundations of the earth, my friend, in his heart and in his mind, he knew that humankind would not make it. We were not as strong as angels. We were not as strong as demons. We needed help, and he knew that. We would need redemption, and he knew that. And that's why the scripture says that Christ was slain since before the foundation of the world. My brothers and sisters, when Christ came to the end of his journey and he had agonized in Gethsemane, he had been beaten, dragged around all over Jerusalem, finally taken up for the final court, and the Roman governor's telling him, don't you know I have power to kill you? Don't you know I have power to do this? He said, you wouldn't have any power unless it was given to you from above. And then you know what he said? He said, for this cause was I born. For this cause was I born. My brothers and sisters, the whole reason for Christ coming to the earth was not to make Hallmark rich so they could sell a lot of cards and a lot of trinkets. The whole reason for him to come to the earth was not so you could have a flashy holiday in the middle of a bleak winter and bring joy and all of that to your heart. It wasn't any of that. You know what the whole reason for him coming was? Because Eddie Kendall was lost and undone without God and on his way to hell. And God saw that I was a lost sinner, and he sent his son to die for me on the cross of Calvary. He allowed him to be abused by human beings and demons. He allowed him to be falsely accused and spit on, and his beard pulled from his face and his crown of thorns placed on his head. He knew what it was to suffer and to be rejected. He knew something that you've never experienced in your life. He felt the face of his father turn away from him as he hung on the cross, and he screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And my brothers and sisters, as he agonized and pushed himself up to get a breath and fell back down again on the old rugged cross, what a horrible, terrible time he was having. Mel Gibson could not have painted it too bleak and too sorry and too horrible. It was all that he did and more. Scripture said he was so marred that we would not even recognize his face as being humans. They did that to the Son of God. Human beings did. You say, why did God allow that to happen? Christ himself allowed it to happen because it was the only way. Three times he prayed in the garden, and three times he asked, if there's any way, can this cup pass from me? And three times the voice of God came back and said, there's no other way. There's no other way. And in the end, he said, not my will, but thine be done. So my friends, when we come this morning, we don't come just to celebrate the story of a little baby laid in a trough in a barn. We don't come just to celebrate that. We come to celebrate that Christ Jesus came into the world to live and to die. One of the ways we celebrate that, my friend, is to receive communion. When Jesus was here on earth, and the last acts that he did was to wash the disciples' feet and to sing a hymn with them. And then he took the cup and he lifted it up and he said, this is my blood of the New Testament that is shed for me. And he blessed it. And then he took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body that is broken for you. And he blessed it. And he handed it to them and said, take this and drink it, all of you. Take this and eat it, all of you. And in as much as you do it, you shew forth the Lord's death till he come. Aren't you glad he said till he come? Because he's promised that it's not going on like this forever. My friend, there's not going to be crazy people in Korea creating bombs to drop on us. There's not going to be terrible diseases coming up out of the jungles to afflict us and take us down. There's not going to continue the heartache of the world. Dottie Rambo wrote a song years ago, And it said, if I could count all the tears that have fallen, it would seem like an ocean to me. And my friend, as I look out across the sea of humanity, see the heartache and the destruction and the terrible things that are happening, I'm aware of the earthquakes and the volcanoes erupting, possibly even more in the next little while. I'm aware of the diseases that are rampant, and I'm aware of the people that are starving. I'm aware of the floods and of the droughts and all the extremes that there are in the world. But my friend, it's not going on like that forever. He's coming again. Jesus came one time and he laid in a manger. Jesus came one time and he was born into a poor carpenter's family, and they struggled for survival. But my friend, he's coming again, and this time when he comes, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming on a white horse with his vesture dipped in blood, and the word of God is going out of his mouth and will destroy the beast kingdoms that have come up against Jerusalem and against Israel. I can see the armies marching on this earth right now, and I can see the armies coming together from all the sides, gathering together. They condemned the United States overwhelmingly last week, this week, I guess, in the United Nations, because our president had recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. My friend, God in heaven recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And my brothers and sisters, they're marching and they're protesting and all these things going on in the world. And the people of the world are at an unrest, but it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. He's coming again. He came one time in Bethlehem, and now he's coming. And you say, is he coming back to Bethlehem? No, he's coming to the Mount of Olives, where he went away from. His feet are going to touch the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in half, and the water's going to run from the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea, and you're going to be able to drive a ship right up to Jerusalem. People are going to come from all over the world and worship from one new moon to another and one Sabbath day to another in Jerusalem. My friend, Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit, and the angels of God and the redeemed of the Lord will rule this earth for 1,000 years. And then they'll have the great white throne judgment, and Satan himself will no longer be put into a bottomless pit, but he'll be cast into hell fire that was created for him. Him and all of his angels will be cast into the lake of fire and burned for eternity. My friend, I want you to know one thing today, that Mary's baby, when Mark Lowry wrote Mary, Did You Know? He knew what he was writing about. Mary's baby will become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will become the great God that will control this earth. And I beg you today, my friend, as we go through this season, don't lose the baby. Don't lose sight of the baby. Don't lose sight of what this season is really about. Whatever you do, you sing Jingle Bells, you sing Frosty the Snowman, it's fine. But don't you forget one moment, don't you forget one moment to sing, O come, Emmanuel. Don't you forget one moment to sing about the praises of our God who has sent his Son to this world. We're going to celebrate him now. As we receive the Holy Communion, I would ask the musicians to come and to play. We will ask you to come by rows up here. The communion's prepared. I thank Wally so much for that. He's always prepared the communion for us. If you don't want to receive it, we won't feel hard at you. If you happen to not believe in receiving physical communion, we won't be mad with you. But my friend, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we don't want to make anything else except the fact that we have the opportunity to serve God. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you as I with the elders come here and stand today before your holy word and before the elements of unleavened bread and the juice of the grape that's been extracted by violence. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this representation of your body and of your blood. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you did not call 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set you free. You did not come down and bring violence, but you died on the cross that we could live. And Lord Jesus, at this holy season, we bow our heads and hearts before you. And we beg you, Almighty God, that the Holy Spirit of God will bless this elements this morning and bless this congregation and each one who receives the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. May the Spirit of God be with them to bless them and give them peace and bless the homes this Christmas, that the Spirit of Jesus will be in every home and at every table. And Lord, draw us closer to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.